Let's go to the book of Ezekiel this morning, chapter 37. Chapter 37. And we're going to make no bones about it, okay? This is a great church. God is great, right? We're never going to hold back our words, and we're going to be people that always profess and proclaim the works of God and how God, great and awesome God is. And in the book of Ezekiel, you may very well have some things in your life that you can relate to as we go into this particular, this chapter of 37. And the preceding chapter speaks about how the Israelites were in a lot of trouble. They were really in a mess. Anybody, right? We sort of have some messes in the room still, right? Oh, all right. Are they raising their hands? Okay, you don't have to admit to it, but it's all okay, right? Some of us got some things going on all the time, right? Life continues to happen, right? Does it not from time to time? Yes. But God is always good, and God always has a proclamation and a prophecy of the good things that are going to happen. So Ezekiel was a prophet who God used to speak to the people, because so often, you know, all we have sometimes is our words to help people with. Yes, our prayers, certainly, and those are words as well, and sometimes we don't know the words to speak. But when people are going through difficult times, when calamities happen, when situations occur out of the blue, when something happens suddenly that, you know, you're going down one path and then bam, something happens that you weren't expecting, change occurs, loss happens, tragedy strike, whatever the case might be, life can surprise us a lot, can it? Good ways and not so good ways, right? But it's always good to know that God's never surprised. Isn't it good to know that God does have a plan for the future, always? And even when, as the song said, even when the healing doesn't come, I was thinking about how many times we pray for healing, how many times we ask God for a specific healing and what we want it to be. And sometimes the healing comes in a different way, by the person, for example, going home to be with the Lord. And years ago, I had a good friend who died in August, in fact, and she had had a heart transplant, and she was a prophet from God, and she's somebody who came to this church to tell her the future of this church, literally, when we're at another building, in fact. In fact, she came just as Gail was getting ready to leave to go to the Dominican Republic. Talk about a plan God had, right? So God brings people to us. Sometimes when we lose someone who's a mentor and a helper and an encourager, we often, all of us, whom no matter who we are, we're all human beings, we all need help. We all need a Jesus in skin, right, to touch us and help us. You know, God sends those type of people to us. And when Donna died, I was devastated by that, because I had prayed for a miracle. A miracle had already occurred for her just living through a heart transplant. But when she passed away, I thought, I was so upset with God because God didn't answer my prayer, and it was devastating. But months later, I had asked her prior to her passing away, I used to joke with her and say, when you get to heaven, can you make sure you ask Jesus some questions for me? Because I'm bugged by a few questions. And to be honest with you, one of the questions that always lays on a pastor's heart in the GLBT community is, are we really okay with you, God, really? Because we hear outside voices sometimes, and you see things that oppose that, and sometimes people even try to use the Bible to tell us by their interpretation. And so as Donna was in the hospital bed the night before she died, I said to her, I said, if there's any way that you could come back and get a message to me and let me know if you're really sitting on Jesus' lap, because that's what she always predicted would happen, because when she was a young child, as she lived in some difficult times as a child, she would envision seeing herself in Jesus' lap, sitting there, comforting her. And so she said, you know, one day I'm going to be sitting on Jesus' lap in the next few days. And I said, I know you are. And in my heart of hearts, I knew and I believed that the word of God tells the truth, that whosoever believes shall be saved. Amen. And truly will be sitting on Jesus' lap. Amen. So long story short, she did pass away. And several months later, I got a phone call from her Pentecostal brother, who was somebody who was an evangelist, who at one time really had cast her aside. And that's part of the reason she had to leave Alabama and move here to Florida, because her family disowned her and all of her gifts and talents that she had. He called me. It was in November. I'll never forget it. I was at work, and he said, Pastor Jaws? I said, uh-oh, this isn't going to be good. I'm hearing a southern voice, knowing full well that was Larry calling. And he said, I don't know if this is going to mean anything to you or not, but I had a vision last night, and Donna came to me, and she told me to get this message to Pastor Joyce. And he said, I have to repent from you right now before you. Jesus died for everyone. I want you to know that. And he said, she wants you to know, this is odd, but she's sitting on Jesus' lap. Do you know what that means? Yeah, I know what it means. So, had she not passed away, that's the point of the story. Had she not died and gone to heaven to sit on Jesus' lap, I still might have been wondering. So the healing came really not for her, but it came for me. And it changed, and it just reinforced my ministry, our ministry. And God's love is for everyone. You have to understand that we are not a GLBT church. We welcome everybody. I want you to understand that. I want to be clear about that. I don't want everybody or anybody ever calling us a gay church. I'm putting you on notice on that one. We might be gay Christians, heterosexual Christians, women, men, children, you name it, polka dots, squares, pattern, you know, and plaids, people, whatever we might be. Circles, yes. Round is a shape, remember that, everyone? But I want you to know, listen, the message stays true, always. God loves us all. And God wants all people to come to worship and have relationship with him. That's all God cares about. It's all God cares about. And whatever you're going through, I want you to know that the word of God is true. That even if you're going through a dry spell, anybody in a dry spell right now? You know what I'm talking about? No. No, no. Whoops, okay. I guess you do. A difficult time, right? Hardships. That's what the Israelites were going through. And the word of God is so alive all the time that even Ezekiel, a long time ago, way before Jesus, God gave Ezekiel scriptures and words and prophecy for those people that were going through dry times. And that message is coming forth to you this morning as well. That's my little introduction to the sermon. Are you ready to hear the word of God? Amen. So, chapter 37. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me around the old dry bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? Do you ever wonder sometimes if your life is over? Do you ever wonder to yourself when you go through something hard and difficult, or you're at that end of something, or people leave your life, or whatever the case might be, or your dreams seem shattered? You seem to have held them in your hands one day and then they're gone. They're like vapor that disappeared. Suddenly everything you hope for, you dream for, you were planning for, suddenly disappears right out of your life. Out of nowhere, it's gone. And you say to yourself, is this the end? Is this the end of me? And we ask the question, can these dry bones, these dried up dreams, these dried up feelings, these hurt, this pain, this sorrow, we often feel we get shriveled up in the spirit. Do you know what I mean by that? Sometimes, you know, you don't even feel God. You don't know where God is. You wonder where God went. You can't even hear God anymore. You talk to God and you don't hear anything back. Nothing feels better. Anybody ever been in that dry place before? Yes, we all have, haven't we? And we ask the questions, can these dry bones and these feelings, this hurt, this pain, this sorrow ever end? Will I ever be able to live again and laugh again and have joy again? See, that's what God asked Ezekiel. Son of man, can those dry bones come back to life again? Can you be revived again? Sovereign Lord, I replied, you know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak to these bones and say, dry bones, hey, dry bones, Dry bones. Look, I am going to breathe into you and make you live again. That's what the sovereign Lord says. So no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God says, through the word of God here this morning, it says, I will breathe life into you again. I will revive you again. I will just, you know, bring you back to life again. That's what God is saying through this word this morning. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. God put his first breath in you when you were born. He created you. And when your dreams seem to shatter, when you seem to be at a place of hopelessness and helplessness, God's going to breathe life right back into you. Amen. Take a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe in. God's going to put new life into you and revive you. I promise you. So I spoke these words, just as the Lord told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, as I said, there comes life back into each and every one of you. As I spoke those words, I heard a rattling sound all across the valley. I heard those dry bones start to shake and start to move, and I heard a rattling. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as they had been before. See, there is, you go back to normal again. There it becomes a new normal in your life again, no matter what you go through. And God puts all the little, you know, if you think about bones being scattered in the valley, think about that, right? All just bones everywhere, just scattered. God picks those up and puts all the pieces back together again. Anybody have lost your puzzle pieces in your life, maybe? Right? Some of us got a few pieces still missing of the puzzle. Right? 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 God takes all those pieces. I see a couple of older folks in the room. Remember pickup sticks? Amen. Does anybody remember? You have them now? Oh, they came back evidently. Okay. Now, there was this game. It's a very simple game that, you know, it came in a, you know, everybody knows those it's a round cylinder, I guess you call it. Thank you. And these sticks were in it, right? And they all were different colors. Remember that? And then I don't know why it is, but somebody wanted to terrorize parents evidently, because they would get these sticks and pour them out on the table and say to you as a child, pick out all the sticks without touching the other ones. Because every time you knocked one over or something, the other person got to play. Remember that? I mean, it's a few years ago since I played. So when I was just a few decades. And sometimes, is our life not like somebody takes, you know, shakes up your life and pours out the sticks and they're like scattered everywhere and they're all intermingled together, right? And you're trying to pull those pieces out ever so gingerly. And what happens when you start to make decisions and start to make changes and you start to pull some pieces out of your life? What can often happen? One thing affects the other, doesn't it? And sometimes it's all a big mangled mess, is it not? But you see, when you're doing it by yourself, that's how life can get even more messy, can't it? But see, God is the great, awesome pixie sticks player of all times. He takes those jigsaw puzzle pieces. And if we take our hands off, right, and say, God, what a mess. Can you fix this for me? Guess what happens? When you sit back and you sit on your hands and you don't allow yourself to try to put your hands back on your problems, right? How many of you kind of start fit, you know, God, I gave it to you. Let me help you with that. You're not quite getting that right. This isn't feeling long. Oh, let me. Oh, yeah, touch it. Oh, what? I should have done that. Oh, God, go right ahead. Fix it. All of us as humans, if we could learn to trust God, that God really will take all those puzzle pieces, all those things that are in our life that have seemed so mangled up for us. And if we will take our hands off and truly trust in God and the Word of God that says that God takes all the pieces of those bones, puts them back together, they attach themselves as before, and as we watch, the muscles and the flesh formed over the bones, the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them yet. See, sometimes God has to get you put back together. Listen, if you're a broken vessel, right? If you're broken, we try to put water into you. What do you suppose is going to happen to that water? It's going to leak right on out, isn't it? When you're a person that needs love and needs acceptance and approval and all those kind of things that all of us need, but you're still broken because you haven't gone before the master clay maker, the master, fixer of all times, the savior of the world, Jesus. If you haven't put yourself really in his hands and allowed him to make and mold and refine and fix all those broken pieces for you solidly. And it takes time sometimes, doesn't it? Some of you may know that I kind of collect flamingos from time to time. And I have, yes, I do. And I have these two special flamingos in our bathroom. And they're made of ceramic. And they're really cool looking. And they have these little feet that hang down. And I move them around every different day or something to kind of give them a little, better vision of some things and whatever like that. And I kind of take the shells and move them differently and move the sun differently and, kind of make them feel more at home. And sometimes in doing that with my two pet flamingos that are there, one of them had an accident and fell. Wow, the crowd turns. I didn't mean to knock him off the shelf. I actually think he tried to jump if you really, Here comes that big hand again. So, fortunately, Becky, who is a craftsperson, she has all kinds of different kinds of glues. There are evidently special kind of glues for special kind of things. I was just going to use like Elmer's glue. But apparently that doesn't hold well with ceramics. No, just paper, thank you. Okay. So, you got to understand me. See, I'm a person that doesn't like to make mistakes. And I am a type of person that, I didn't want to bring this flamingo to Becky. I was trying to think of the story, I was getting the paper towels down, and then I moved over to the side where the towel was, and then, this fell, and that's how it fell down. Kind of. But I was going with he jumped. So I bring this head and body of the flamingo to Becky with my sheepish eyes, and I say, "Look what happened to my flamingo. Can you help me?" She says, "I have a special glue for that." It's very important to have the right, yes. After I got the Joyce, thank you. How do you know her? So she puts the head on, puts the little glue there, and I'm like, okay, good. Done. I go to pick up the flamingo to put the flamingo back up on the shelf, right? Now I have this flamingo that's only looking to the left. Becky's like, "Why are you touching the flamingo head? You have to wait and let the glue dry." It's been a minute. And the other flamingo's lonely, wants him back. She said, "You have to wait. You're so impatient." She said, "Someday you're going to have a sermon about this." What? So, I do want you to report that my flamingo is back on the shelf, doing well. I didn't Facebook for prayers because, you probably were praying for some other things for the pastor's mind, but needless to say, but Point being, obviously, you understand the point of the story, do you not? Wait on God. When things aren't going quite right, and sometimes we get our hands into things, and sometimes we do make mistakes. Sometimes we make choices that aren't always good for us. And we get ourselves sometimes into a place of brokenness. But God will come along. He doesn't judge. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't say to you, oh, why did you do that? He doesn't do that. He says, come here. Let me put you back together. Let me correct this. I'm going to glue you back together. But you have to wait till it's just right, till you're okay again, till you've been restored again, until you're whole again. It takes time sometimes to be in God's presence. That's why we come to church. That's why we sit here and we listen to the music and the music ministers. And all the things that are troubling you, they fall away. And some of you, while you're even sitting there, God puts you back together and glues you together again. And then he puts his spirit in you. And that spirit begins to minister inside. Before you know it, you're back to normal again. Your joy's back. Your dreams come alive again. You see life differently. You have hope again. Because God did it for you. And God wants to do that for each of you today. Then God said to me, speak to the winds and say, this is what the sovereign Lord say. Come, breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may come to life again. So I spoke as he commanded me, and the wind entered the bodies and they began to breathe. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army of them all. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent people. They have a saying, we have all become old dry bones. All hope is gone. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. My people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land. When this happens, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You will see that I have done everything as I promised, just as I, the Lord, have spoken. So whatever and wherever you are right now, God is going to breathe into you from the four winds, north, south, east, and west. He's going to breathe life back into each and every one of you. Just as God has promised all of the Israelites, I promise you this morning, some of you who are dry bones, God is putting you back together, breathing life into you, and you will indeed rise again. Rise again. Rise again. So, as we close our time together in the message from God, the last part of the scriptures I didn't go to from 2 Kings speak about Elisha, who had died and was buried. And they had put him in a tomb, and there he was. And a man had died, and they threw the body into the tomb with Elisha's bones. And the man came back to life again. Sometimes those of us that have been dry bones and have felt like we've died, do you know what our purpose in life is? To breathe life back into other people as well. So whether you're a dry bone this morning, or whether you're someone who has God's spirit in you, when the two collide, you know what happens? Healing takes place. Life comes back into you and to us and all of us. So as we enter into our communion time together, I would like to offer the opportunity to any of you this morning who've had some things going on and maybe you feel broken inside, or maybe your life is in shatters. Maybe you're somebody whose things have just fallen all apart. Or maybe you just feel broken or dry inside and you need revival. I want you to know that as the Lord says and as I speak to you today, old dry bones, God is going to breathe life into you again this very day. This very day. So come to the altar this morning expecting new life. So when you turn around and go out, you might walk up rattling, but you're going to walk back revived, refreshed, and renewed. Amen? Amen. Amen.